Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the Grand Rapids Public Museum Summer Saturdays kick off with a riverfront celebration. We get the preview. Rapid Wheelmen ride on Mondays and invite the public. We talk about how you can get involved. We talk all things Grand Rapids Southeast Promise Neighborhood, hosting a series of community events this month. And June is Lipedema Awareness Month. We talk about what you need to know.
I am glad that you are here, Rob Skidema, to talk all things Grand Rapids Public Museum. Summer Saturdays begin. Good morning to you, Rob.
Good morning to you as well. Thank you for having me.
I think we hear you on on WYCE, so you know about these things.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Wonderful.
It's always an interesting time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's called
technology.
Stress the team. All right, we move right along. Let's talk to you about Summer Saturdays that begin tomorrow.
Yes. So you may recall back in April, we were planning our riverfront celebration, and then the weather and the rains and the river rising did not cooperate with us. So we decided to push it back to a kickoff for our Summer Saturdays. So this Saturday from 10 to 2, we'll have our riverfront celebration. A long time in the making. Construction has been going on for 2 years plus. So this will be the first opportunity for the public to come out and enjoy the new space. And we'll have food vendors, we'll have music going, and then activities where we can connect guests with the river and the space, and all kinds of fun and educational opportunities for people to engage.
How are things with the riverfront?
It's great. Yeah, it's been it's been a process, and it's been fun to watch the different stages of it. Just last week, they were putting in some sod in some of the areas, so it's definitely an ongoing project. But the access to the river we now have has never been available before. So when we're doing programming like river quality testing, we can go and get right into the river to collect that water. So it brings a whole new perspective to the museum experience.
Summer Saturday programs, you kick off this Saturday, and in general, will we be able to celebrate every Saturday?
Yes, every Saturday, other than we'll take a break over the 4th of July weekend, but starting up this Saturday through August 15th and June 20th, the second Saturday, is when Unseen Oceans opens up. And that's a fantastic exhibit that explores the depths of our largest oceans.
Wonderful. Rob, let's detail for sure this Saturday, which is tomorrow. You have many performances lined up.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun opportunity. When we're looking at it as kind of a busking type, situation where we'll have performers that are going to be intermingling and set up right where all the action is, playing about every half hour, starting at 10:30 and going until 1:30.
Is this free and open to the public in general?
It is free and open to the public. I will say this, if you're walking around on the Blue Bridge or in Lax Park and you go, "Ooh, what's going on?" you will have access to the riverfront without actually coming through the museum. So that anybody who's in the area wants to come and check it out, I encourage them to do that. And then we'll have activities in the museum as well, along with the game garden just opened up. So I encourage people then to purchase general admission tickets and go on into the museum and check out the rest of the space.
Yes. Tell me more about who we will hear for sure.
Oh, I have to look that up real quick.
I'll lead the way. How about Rin Tarsi begins at 10:30?
Yes.
So you have Nicholas James, Thomas Ma, Edie Evans Hyde. You can't beat
Edie. Yeah, can't beat that.
You've got the Avant Theater Ballet.
Yes, they did a great performance in our Meyer Theater a couple of weeks ago, and they've been great partners. So they're going to come and dance along with us.
It's Red Time, and you end with Chris Kranick.
Yes, correct.
Wonderful.
Yes, one of my fellow WICE programmers. So excited about that. Yes.
What am I going to be eating?
So you'll have opportunities to eat the Jamaican way. Nothing Button Cakes will be there as well. We'll have a Mediterranean dessert option, and then some good Mexican food. So we'll have a variety of vendors there that will be outside, so you can come and check them out.
Talking with Rob Skidema, Director of Public Programs, Grand Rapids Public Museum, Summer Saturdays kicking off. tomorrow as early as 10:30, although earlier come?
Yes, it starts at 10. And one of the other great benefits of this opening weekend is that we had a generous sponsor who decided that this would be a great day to have free carousel rides. So the carousel will be open for all, you know, all visitors. I would suggest, getting those tickets as soon as you come in because they will probably go fast. You know, spaces are limited. There'll be a lot of fun things going on from 10 till 2.
Nice. And I think your weather is on your side as well.
I'm trying not to obsessively look at the weather. No. But yes, I think that we're going to make it work.
And there will be geology talks with your science curator, Dr. Redmond.
Yes. Corey has been waiting for this for a long time. He was pivotal in the formation. We needed a retaining wall, being our location. And the creative thinkers that we have on staff said, well, why don't we make this an educational opportunity? Let's create a geology wall so people can take a glimpse at what is underneath them. So he'll be there all day talking about that. We'll have our education team doing water quality testing in our outdoor classroom. We have a couple of great volunteers who are part of a bug club that they're going to be there doing a bug related activity and talking about different bug species. We'll have a volunteer that's talking about the sturgeon programs in the river, and then remind people about the removal of the dams and the project of relocating the mussels a couple of years ago. So, well, all things Grand River, talking about past, present, future, and a great opportunity to interact.
Yes, and it begins tomorrow all the way through, looks like, your 15th of August. But Let's not rush summer.
No, let's not rush summer. We have lots of cool things going on between now and then. I'm really excited about just the variety. We'll make those connections to the river, but with the Unseen Oceans exhibit opening, we'll have a couple of days that really relate to that. But also, one of them is exploring the deep, and we have a great partner, Mark Gleason, who does underwater ROV exploration in the Great Lakes. So he'll be talking about that. It's not just the ocean that, we send these unmanned, devices down to check out the depths.
Anything with water, important to yes. learn from. All right, Rob, details one more time for tomorrow, please.
So, yes, it's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we'll have activities inside and outside. Outside activities are all free, so anybody walking around the area, come in and join us. Admission is, still in place for the museum itself. But the great thing about that is if you're Kent County, you get reduced admission for adults. Mm. And kids 17 under get in free, and even better after our overall, free parking.
That is precious in our own backyard. Is. Rob Skidema, thank you. Director of Public Programs. Back to work you go with the Grand Rapids Public Museum. See you tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you.
Here we go. Let's ride cycles. And, of course, Matthew Cedarquist, you rode last week with me as part of the Grand Rapids Triathlon. And then we said, hey, training needs to continue. So, Rapid Wheelman, you're home away from home, vice president, of course. And here to talk about time trials and more. Matt, were you happy with last weekend? Wasn't it wonderful?
Oh, my goodness. It was a great day. Weather was perfect. We had an awesome turnout, excellent number of people. The Grand Rapids Tri is always a great experience for everyone. So if you haven't done it yet,
do it.
Sign up
next
Let's
year.
Do it. Yep.
I know. Plug for Tri's.
Well,
help.
And that's the thing. So if you are interested in a triathlon, that's what the Rapid Wheelmen are here for.
All right, take me back to the history of Rapid Wheelmen.
Yeah, so back in 1970, it was a group of cyclists that were interested in organizing group rides and just having some fun, plus advocating for cycling safety here in West Michigan. It was formed in the back room of the Elger Bike Shop. Oh, yeah.
Why the name Rapid Wheelmen? And are you still Rapid Wheelmen?
Well,
I had to go there.
I know, and that's fine. Well, we do still maintain the name Rapid Wheelmen.
You have to have an answer to that question.
Yes, we do. It is not to specify any particular gender. We do have several women and even children that are members of our club. Currently, as we were talking just before we started here, our time trials are on Monday nights. Our current overall club leader for our six-mile course is an eight-year-old young man. Yes, and he did the six-mile loop in 30 minutes, him and his dad. If you're under the age of 15, you have to have an adult accompany you. But at our time trials, our traditional route that we've been racing since 1975, okay, and this is every first Monday of May to the last Monday in August. We've been doing this since 1975. That is an amazing feat for anybody.
And what are you attributing this to?
What am I attributing this to?
Yeah, and how have you been so successful?
Well, we've been very successful because once you become a cyclist, you're always going to be a cyclist.
Or you're going to be a stronger cyclist.
Or you're going to be a stronger cyclist. More. So we have a lot of individuals, myself included, who race at different levels, either it be triathlon or road cycling. And the time trials were originally developed as a practice time for our racing team that we had back through the mid-'80s and through the 90s. We still have a racing team, but nobody races on the team because, I mean, it's a lot of work. Plus, there's a lot of options for teams in town now. Back starting through the 70s and 80s, there really wasn't anything. We were the only one in town, really. Through that, what we've done is provided opportunities through our group rides and our time trials to be kind of a feeder club for some of the bigger teams that you know if you're in town, like the Bissell team, and I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Don't want to
leave
anybody
out.
Right.
Yeah. No.
A lot of talent.
Let's go back to time trials. Where are you located and who can participate?
So we're located in Ada Park. We start at Buttrick. Our longest route, 15 miles, goes all the way down to Seguin and back again. And we've added this year a 6 mile, a 10, a 12 mile, and a 24 mile loop. I apologize. Our longest one is the 24 mile. So what we did is we did this to design it more towards the triathlete or give the triathlete some options. And who can participate? Anybody. Our membership base, our youngest member is roughly 6. Our oldest member is in the high 80s.
Now, there is a membership, right? I don't want to say a fee, but there is a fee to participate.
Yeah, there is a membership. The membership dues for the year are roughly $30, $35. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head. but what that does is that gives you access not only to our time trials, all of our group rides, that gives you access to it gives you free ride with GPS account through the club. So you will not only have access to all of our current routes, we have 200 some routes.
Whoa.
Just around here in Kent County. And also it's open to all of your family. So for instance, my membership covers my wife and all 6 of my kids.
That's half the battle is
right.
covering everyone. Where does one start, Matthew, if he or she's interested, maybe isn't a strong cyclist, and the first step is just showing up, maybe not with a professional bike. I trust you welcome all.
Yes, we do. All that we ask for your bicycle is it has good brakes, good wheels, and you have a helmet.
The helmet is
important. Helmet is very important. Experience level, if you're brand new, we welcome you with open arms. That's what we're here for, is to teach how to ride safe and have fun while you are riding. So if you are interested in getting involved with the Rapid Wheelman, the best thing to do would be to join our Facebook group. We post a lot of our ride updates and notifications of the club through that. We also have a Strava group. So these are both open to the public. You join either one of those groups, you'll get all of the updates as to what's going on and when the next ride is. Or if you have a week like we had this week, that the ride's going to be canceled.
So that's kind of how that works, isn't it? Bottom line, ride on and fellowship with others who enjoy and oftentimes Monday night's an open night, so get
That's
out
right.
and do it. Right.
So, and we ride, like, as I said, Monday nights, time trials, plus we have a group that do gravel riding on Mondays down in Byron Center. On Wednesday nights, we have a large group, about 50 to 60 individuals with three speed groups that meet at Challenger Elementary in Kentwood at 6:30 p.m. The A group is around 20 miles an hour plus. The B group is in between, I'll say around 18. And C group is anywhere from 12 to 15.
So no rider left behind.
And these are all non-drop route rides.
Good.
And then our Saturday rides are 8 a.m. Riverside Park. We call it Dawn Patrol. Tomorrow we'll be riding from Riverside Park down to Burnups. We're going to stop at a ice cream shop down there that's been newly renovated.
There is that, yes.
And head on home.
Matt, how do we find out more information about this, get ourselves signed up, and join in?
Yeah, as I said, either our Facebook group, our Strava group, and, of course, our webpage, rapidwheelman.com. And feel free, if you go to the website, you go into the About Us page, you'll find email addresses for all of us officers. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me at vp@rapidwheelman.com, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions for you.
I say this often, right a day keeps the doctor away.
Right.
Take care. Matthew Cedarquist, again, good job to you last weekend at the Grand Rapids Tri. Onward to more time trials to get even stronger.
That's
right. See you soon.
Yes, thank you.
The conversation we are having now is important. Let's talk about our own backyard. Grand Rapids having a lot of community initiatives, but GRSEPN, I bet we can say it better, the Southeast Promise Neighborhood, has been doing something pretty specific. For those who haven't heard, we talk about it, and we talk about what's happening next week. I bring you in Samika Douglas. Good morning, Samika.
Good morning, Shelley.
Appreciate you. Trying to get London on the phone. Did you get her text?
I did text her, but she hasn't responded.
All right.
I texted
her this number. Give that number. That's the best we can do.
That's the best we could do.
We're going on with the show.
Okay. The show must go on.
Yeah, that's the world in which we live.
Yeah.
My friend, is there a way to pronounce GRSEPN?
No, ma'am. Okay. I've just been saying Grand Rapids Southeast Promise Neighborhood.
Okay. Tell me about your neighborhood.
Yes, so I am in the 49507 neighborhood. That is the southeast coordinates of Grand Rapids. And there's a lot going on in our neighborhood, a lot going on where individuals come in our neighborhood and tell us what it is that we want or we need instead of asking us.
How did the neighborhood get started in general?
I'm trying to understand that question.
I guess, how did the organization?
Yeah, so the Grand Rapids Southeast Promise Neighborhood wanted to come in and assist and also not just be a handout, but give a helping hand. And so they, the Southeast Promise Neighborhood came in to do just that.
Yes. Samika, let's get into what's been happening and what will happen next week. You've been enjoying gathering your community with some dinner and data engagements. Set the scene here for me. What makes these events happen and different?
Yes. So the Grand Rapids Southeast Promise Neighborhood, because we can't, is those all those acronyms, right? It's a community-driven collaboration supporting kids and family in that southeast area, and the goal is to support those individuals from birth to career, and the core idea is that no organization alone can do this work, so we're getting rid of those silos and bringing in other organizations to move the needle along, so they partner with individuals like the Baxter Community, Link Up, and several other individuals such as Western Michigan University. We're trying to track that real data on how our family and our children and our neighborhoods are doing, such as school readiness, attendance, and things like that. So they have real challenges, but they also have real strengths on the southeast side. And the work is about honoring both of those and making sure the community members are driving those decisions. Again, not making decisions about us without us.
Yes. Sounds like true teamwork. You've been hosting a series of community events this month, community data engagements. Cool name. You've had, one or two, and you have one next week?
Yes. So, sorry, London is texting. I just told her, call the number.
Call that number, my
call
friend.
Call the number. So we had several last week, and they were pretty well attended, but we would like to get more community involvement in the next one. The next one will be on June the 17th at MLK Junior Park Community Center. So that new beautiful community center that has been built, it will be from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. and then from 7 to 8:30. There is a dinner involved as well, so you could come out. I will be there as well for Quench Queens. I do a traveling bartending
service.
I'm supposed
to ask you about that.
Oh, okay. So I will be there as well, providing a hydration station for individuals as well. But what we're looking to happen is that our families could come in and provide us with the information that we're asking, that we want to know about what's going on. Because we look at the data, and the data only shows us the school, what's happening when they come into school, but it's not showing us at home. It's not showing us those barriers that families faces at home. It's not showing us those things so we know how to tackle those things and who needs the assistance and how to bring in more funding and more assistance for those families.
And these events, including the one coming up next week, they're different. You've thrown out the typical format, no stuffy presentations. You've gathered the neighbors, Samika.
Yes. Again, because we work on the model, ask, align, and activate. So we want to ask the community what it is that they need, what it is that they want to see change. And then we align with that. We align our mission and our values with that as well. And then we come together to different organizations, as I named earlier, such as Family Futures, Link Up, Grand Rapids Public School, and we align to activate on those what the community is asking us for.
Do you ask teenagers to attend?
Yes. So thank you for mentioning that. This one on the 17th, we are asking our teenagers to be involved. We are doing so many things around our youth and for our youth, but we're not asking their input. So this is a time where the teenager's voice could be amplified, where they could come in and they could also let us know what it is. And they don't have to be ashamed or scared. This is a time where we want to hear their voice, good, bad, ugly, or indifference. We want to know what they're feeling and how they're feeling.
Talking all things GRSEPN, Community Dinner and Data Engagements. They've been happening. There's one coming up Wednesday. We'll give you details in just a second, the final details. Still waiting for London, but that's okay. Samika Douglas with us on the line. She's a winner, of course, the obvious conversation, the Grand Rapids Southeast Promise Neighborhood. I like the word promise. Is that key here?
Yes, it's just to let individuals know that this is for them, you know, and it sticks, and we're our word is bond, pretty much, you know. If we said we're going to do it, and that's what we're here for. We're here to show up for the kids and the family for generations to come. We're here to prioritize our collaboration with the community members as well as with different organizations. Again, one person or one organization cannot do this. So we're promising with the organizations that we're going to work together. We're not going to be silo. We're promising the community that their voice will be amplified in this.
I like this this talking point here, Samika. The Southeast side already knows what it needs. These events are designed to make space for that knowledge to be heard and acted upon, yes?
Yes. Again, it goes back to that ask, align, and act. You know, we so many times things or individuals or organizations come into the community and tell the community what it is they need, but we need to start asking the community what it is they need.
Yes. What will happen after June 17th? Again, more presentations, more communication.
So after we collect this data, again, it is to help drive decisions and help drive change. So we'll take the data, analyze the data, and then we'll go out and we'll work together with different organizations, letting them know this is what's needed and bring that collaboration in. Because again, just removing that silo in the community, because no one organization can do all the work. And then also not recreating the wheel. If we know that one organization does transportation, then let's collaborate with them to get transportation and food. Let's collaborate with them to get housing, things like that, because we have to understand that these barriers are what's preventing the community from coming out.
Your passion is infectious. Thank you for that. GRSEPN, the Southeast Promise Neighborhood Strong under your leadership. One more time, details for June 17th, please.
Yes, so June 17th will be at Martin Luther King Jr. Park Community Center. That is the new building that has been built in that park. It will be from 4:30 to 8:30. Will the sessions be from 4:30 to 6 p.m. and then from 7 to 8 p.m.? There is a free dinner, so come out. Children are welcome. It is kid friendly, so we ask that you bring out your children, especially your teenagers. We want to hear their voice.
Samika Douglas, thank you for you. Take care. June is Lipedema Awareness Month, which shines a spotlight on a chronic condition that's estimated to affect 11% of women. My next guest in the house, she's a rock star on behalf of West Michigan Woman, doing great journalism. I introduce you, Sarah Seiden, to share a bit of your story and more. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for the work you do.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, wonderful job in many ways. Let's get right into your story, which 11% of women engage in this lipedema, obviously, diagnosis. And you're one of them. You want to share your story, Sarah?
Yeah, so by the grace of social media, I happened to come across the existence of this condition about 2 years ago. It's a chronic, often painful connective tissue disorder where you've got some symmetrical buildup of abnormal fat, typically in your legs or arms, and it almost exclusively affects women. It's frequently misdiagnosed as obesity or lymphedema, which are two completely different conditions. So I came across a video on social media of a woman who was describing some of her symptoms, and those all really lined up for my own experience in my own body. And I was lucky enough to get a diagnosis right in town here, which is not something that everyone has access to.
Yes. Yeah. And is it called lipedema?
Lipedema, yes. Correct, yes.
And back to my medical terminology, edema does mean swelling. What's happening in your body?
So with lipedema, it is specifically connective tissue related. So while lymphedema is more fluid related, and that can be symmetrical in your body or asymmetrical. Lipedema, alternatively, is symmetrical. So it could be you're a really athletic and active person and you're really slim or athletic in your body, except for your legs. Your legs don't change ever. And they're also usually accompanied by some symptoms that are painful, such as easy bruising, or you've got a texture to your skin that looks like peas or rice because underneath the tissue is more fibrotic and nodular, and often a feeling of heaviness. A lot of women describe it as like your legs feel like they're being weighed down by cement blocks. So all of those things led me to have that light bulb moment of like, oh, wow, you know, over the years, I just assumed it was genetics. This is just how my body was. Come to find out there's a reason for that. So lipedema awareness in June is huge for with 1 in 11 women being affected. Awareness is huge because a lot of even physicians still are learning exactly what lipedema is.
So you educating us and the physician, you need a paycheck in your mail. You were diagnosed late 2024.
Yes.
What kind of treatment is done?
So there's a lot of conservative treatment that can be done, and that is essentially to ease symptoms. That could include manual lymphatic drainage. That could be dry brushing, vibration plate compression is huge. Unfortunately, once lipedema tissue is in your body, it cannot be dieted or exercised away. It is very, very resistant to those traditional methods. So surgically removing it is truly the only way to remove it from your body once it's there. And for a lot of women, it comes on, it advances or appears during times of hormonal change. So puberty, pregnancy, menopause, and my lipedema has been advancing since I hit puberty. So it's been something that I've just kind of have always known in my body. And I did, I'm one of the women who, many women really, who have gone overseas to get surgical treatment for that because the U.S. is still catching up in terms of treatment and insurance coverage for this condition.
And you've had three lipedema reduction surgeries, I understand.
I have, yes. Over the last year, less than a year actually, I've had three surgeries in Madrid, Spain with Lipomedical, a clinic out there. They're hyper-specialized. I've been wonderful. I'll be going back one more time for my arms, but I've already experienced incredible relief from getting these surgeries. So it's a lot of effort. I'm thankful for their expertise, but also, you know, I shouldn't have to go overseas to get this treatment. Women deserve quality health care. So I'm thankful that I've gotten that treatment, but we've also got some really incredible local resources.
Including a whole support group.
Yes, yes. So Dr. Celia Egan at True Women's Health is who diagnosed me. She is specialized in lipedema. I also have engaged with the Lipedema Michigan Facebook group. It's a private group just to keep it as like a safe space, but they also have local monthly meetups. I'll be joining the one that is taking place on Monday, June 15th. That's at Schuller Books at 6 p.m. I'm just going to discuss my experience a little more in depth. And it's just a really a nice, safe place for people to connect with other women who understand them. Even if you don't even know for sure that you have lipedema and you just want to ask questions and learn more, that's a really great place to do it.
Sarah, yes. With us, yes, Lipedema Awareness Month, sharing mm-hmm. her story. Because I'm sure there's some... I don't want to say mental, but I'm sure mm-hmm. there's some mental health stress here yes. as well. But until you get mm-hmm. a diagnosis, I often understand that, and when you mm-hmm. get the diagnosis, often minimizes that.
Yes, absolutely. Harvard Medical Journal actually did an entire study and article about the mental effects of lipedema on women as well, not just the physical. Really is sort of that two-pronged condition where you're often, there's a lot of shame involved in having the condition. And for years and years, not understanding why, I forgave my body a lot once I got my diagnosis, because everything made sense. And I realized it was also trying to overcome this condition. So, securing an earlier diagnosis, hopefully with awareness, more women can do that. That leads to a lot of positive effects, because then now you can take action. You're more equipped with the knowledge to move forward, whether that is a surgical journey, which that isn't something that's accessible to everyone, whether that's doing daily conservative measures to help slow the progression of your disease and ease those symptoms, or if it's even just connecting with other women who truly understand what it's like to live with a chronic condition like this.
Yes. Have you been free from pain? Is mm-hmm. there pain involved with this?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's a lot of...
tissue.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Like women have even described having their small dog walk across their lap as being painful, or mobility is a huge thing. If you get advanced enough in your stages of lipedema, your mobility can be greatly compromised. And there are women who talk about not being able to sit on the ground or play with their grandchildren because they just physically cannot do it, or it's too painful.
At what point, you mentioned, Sarah, I mean, you're mm-hmm. just getting a diagnosis late 2024, but mm-hmm. at what point should a woman realize she has a few of these symptoms? I mean, mm-hmm. does this go back to a 14-year-old, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been starting to progress in my body since I was around 12 years old. I knew as a teenager even that my body was different than my peers. I knew it then. This is something that if you're equipped with the knowledge to recognize symptoms like the disproportion between having a slimmer torso and larger lower body, there's something that's called cuffing because lipedema spares your hands and your feet. Often at your ankles or wrists, you'll have it almost looks like a cuff. That's a huge indicator as well. And there's also a lot of comorbidities with lipedema, a lot of like hypermobility, conditions, PMOS is a huge one, chronic venous disease. A lot of these things can go hand in hand with this condition. So if you can sort of recognize the potential for those symptoms to all be adding up to something greater. That was something that really helped me know in my heart to pursue a diagnosis for this as well.
Sarah, I need to let you go because you have work to do with West Michigan Woman Magazine and more. Mm-hmm. What is the best resource for listeners?
Once again, I think reaching out to your doctor, your medical provider, bringing them the knowledge and having that conversation about lipedema. You know, so many physicians are still catching up. Lipedema Foundation online has really great patient self-advocacy guides and even a clinician's guide to lipedema to help them understand even further. Dr. Celia Egan at True Women's Health locally is great, and the Lipedema Michigan Facebook group are also really awesome local resources.
Sarah, thank you for sharing your story. Carry on. And you've probably answered someone's question that they've been asking on why am I experiencing these symptoms? So if you've touched one life, you've done good, as they say. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Shelley.